Welcome to Gemara Marks. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the third Perek of Chulin, Perek Elu Treifus. It is not too late to order your edition of the book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Chulin, the book of named Sichas Chulin. This book will be invaluable for the study of the third perek in particular. The perek features different problems that fall under the category of trephos that arise in behemoths and animals that render them categorized as trepha, or a form of something we can call unkosher. These problems, generally speaking, are deficiencies in the organs of the animal. And we will see in the opening Mishnah a list of such problems. There are featured 18 in the Mishnah, 18 examples of trephos. And the perek itself will be dedicated to expounding upon each one of these problems. The Gemara itself in today's shiur will deal with the issue of, are there 18 and no more? Or are there in fact more examples of trephos? It will be pointed out that to be categorized as a trepha is not dependent on something that one sees in the pasuk. In fact, the pasuk, the Torah itself, mentions that a trepha is something that's forbidden to eat. However, what falls into the category of trepha is dependent on an oral tradition, often referred to as a halacha l'moshe misinai. As we study trephos, it is not obligatory upon us to be able to figure out why something is a trepha and why something is not, basically because of the fact that we are dealing with an oral tradition. The details, as we said, will be dealt with in the ensuing pages of Gemara. So, therefore, in today's shiur, even though there is a quite a list of problems that arise, we will leave the details of each one of the problems for the Gemara itself to discuss as the perek unfolds. Nevertheless, it is once again recommended to have available the book of Sichas Chulin, the book of illustrations, in order to ease the understanding of these different problems. So, without any further ado, we turn to the Mishnah. Elu Treifos Bebehema. These are the problems known as trepha that can arise in an animal. Nekuvas haveshet, this is a hole in the esophagus. Upsukas hagargeres, a windpipe, a trachea that is psukas, that is severed in its width. Nikev krum shel moach, the membrane surrounding the animal's brain is pierced. Nikev halev lebeis chalolo, the heart has a hole in it, the hole penetrating from the outside surface of the heart into one of the heart chambers. Nishbra hashedra v'nifsak hachut shala, the spine is broken, and as a result, the spinal cord is also severed. Nital hakoved v'lo nishtar himenu klum, the animal's liver is completely missing. Horea shenikva, a pierced lung. Oi shechosra, or it is missing. Something of it is missing. Rav Shimon omer ad shitinkav lebeis hasimphonos. The hole does not pose a problem until the hole pierces from the surface to the area of the symphonos. The symphonos are the tubes inside the lung. Nikva HaKeva, if the keva, which is one of the animal's stomachs, is pierced. Nikva HaMora, the mora being possibly the gall. Nikva HaDakin, if the intestines are pierced. HaKeres HaPnimis, SheNikva, if the inner keres, the inner stomach, is pierced. Oi SheNikra Roiv HaChitzona. This term will be the subject of a sugya later on, so there isn't much to say at this point, but if rov of the external exterior of it is cut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hagdola Tefach Vaktano Beruba. The large one, if it's a tear in it, of a tefach, and a small one, if it's the majority. Hamsis Ubeis HaKoisos. These are two parts of the stomach system of cows. Shenikvu Lesoich Lachutz. If the they are pierced toward the outside of these respective organs. Noflo min hagag, if an animal fell from a roof and you didn't leave it around for 24 hours, you slaughtered it immediately. Even if you don't find anything broken in it, there is a chashash for something called risuk evorim, a type of shock, if you will. So Noflo min hagag, if it fell from a roof experiencing this impact, and you slaughtered it immediately, that would be classified as a trefa, even if you don't see any other ostensible problem. Nishtabru roiv sloseha, rov, the majority of its ribs are broken. Udrusas hazeev, an animal, a cow, or let's say an animal that was attacked by a wolf. A drusa is a situation where the, in this case, the zeiv, the wolf, attacked using its paws, and its paw nails were inserted to the animal's flesh. Rashi describes that the zeiv has a type of venom in its claws that can eventually burn away the organs, create holes, and as a result of a type of burning effect on the victim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Drusas Hazeev Bedako, Udrusas Ari Begasa. Rabbi Yehuda qualifies, whereas the Tanakhama does not. The Tanakhama says a Zeev attack will render trefus to even large animals. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction. He says a Zeev, his attack, his paw attack, would make a trefa if you're dealing with a behema daka, something like a sheep or a goat, and a large animal like a cow, that would be affected only if you're dealing drusas ari, with a lion's attack. And when we speak about attack, we're talking about what we described a moment before, where the paw mark is visible on the animal, or the paw head and its claws had been inserted to the animal's surface, thereby creating this fear of venom being inserted and hence rendering damage. Drusas hanets be'oif hadak, drusas hagas be'oif hagas. These are trefos dealing with birds, and they're, we'll say, attack birds. So the anates is the type, as a name of a kind of bird, and its clawing of a of hadak, a small type bird, would render it trefa. And the drusas hagas, this is another kind of bird. Rashi uses a French word to explain describe it. It would affect a large type bird, large kosher variety bird, like a chicken. Ze haklal kol she'en kamo achaya trefa. The Mishnah makes a rule that says that any deficiency where something like it would not live is considered a trefa. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, remez l'trefa min haTorah minayin. On the surface, this question will appear hard to understand because of its obvious simple answer, but he asks, where is there an allusion in the Torah to the prohibition of treifus? So to the Gemara reacts to this with wonderment and says, Minayan, you're asking from where is there a remez, a hint to the prohibition of treifus? There's a specific pasuk, an explicit verse, explicit pasuk that mentions its prohibition. It says, "Ubosor besada treifa lo sochelu." It says that treifa flesh one shall not eat. And also, what is the question? So the question is now presented, and we have a long question marking that accompanies this. It's a 4-line question. Elo remez l'treifa she'eno chaya min haTorah minayin. Where is there an allusion in the Torah to that which is taught in the Mishnah that a treifa is a type of animal that is not expected to live? The katani seifa, as it is taught in the end of our Mishnah zehaklal, kol she'en kamo achaya treifa. Michlal, from this phrase of the Mishnah, we can deduce treifa eino chaya. Minala, from where is there a hint or an allusion in the Torah to this description or to this phenomenon that a treifa is a type of deficiency causing the animal to not live out its life, to die early? So now that the question is understood, the Gemara answers. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vezos hachayo asher tochelu." Chayo echol, an animal that is expected to live. That's a type of animal that you can eat. She'eno chayo, an animal that is not expected to live. Lo techol, do not eat it. Mechlal, the treifa lo chayo. So from here, we can infer that a treifa is a type of animal that is not expected to live out its life, its normal life expectancy. We've double underlined this expression treifa nechaya in anticipation of the next double underline treifa chaya. These double underlines are highlighting these two expressions that represent two schools of thought with regard to treifa. Does treifas create a situation where an animal is not expected to live out its life? So the first approach we just saw, where is there an allusion in the Torah to describing treifa as something that will not live? However, ulaman de omar, the Gemara goes on, treifa chaya min ole, according to the approach that says that even though something is a treifa, that doesn't necessarily shorten its life expectancy, where does he see an allusion to that? Answer, nafgale mi zos hachayo asher tochelu. And from he will learn this pasuk as follows. Zos hachayo echol, this kind of animal that will live, you can eat. Chayo acheres lo techol, another kind of animal that lives, do not eat. So there is an allusion to two kinds of animals that are expected to live out their lives. However, within those two groups of animals that will live, one you're allowed to eat, and the other group you're not allowed to eat from. And that other group that you're not allowed to eat from are treifas. Michlal, the treifa chaya. The ido chai zos my ovidle, the manda omar that says that it will not live, what does he do with the limitation expression of zos? Answer, mi boya le lichedetolebe rishmoel, the first manda omar that said treifa eina chaya will, and he learned that from an inference from the pasuk, but not from the limitation expression of zos. Well, he uses those for the following teaching. The Tana, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, that which was taught in the school of Rabbi Shmuel, the following Tanaic source. Zos hachayo asher tochelu. Melamed, this pasuk teaches us the word zos isn't a function here of a limitation, but rather a word indicating something being pointed out. When you say zos, you're saying this, and you're in effect pointing to something. So this pasuk teaches me, "Shetofas haKodesh Baruch Hu mikol minu min," the Kodesh Baruch Hu so to speak, grabbed each type of animal, the herolo l'moisha, and showed each kind of animal to Moshe, the amalo, and he says, zos echol v'zos lo techol. This kind of animal you are allowed to eat, and this kind of animal you are not allowed to eat. The idach, the approach that says that treifa chaya, nami miboya le l'chotorei of Shmuel, doesn't he need this pasuk, the very pasuk that manda omer, that opinion cited for his basis, does he not need it for this other purpose, for that which was taught in the school of Rabbi Shmuel? So the Gemara says, in hochinami, in fact, he does need zos hachayosher tochelu for this teaching, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Almighty pointed out to Moshe Rabbeinu, which kinds of animals one is allowed to eat and which not. Therefore, the question comes back, where does he know his position from? Namely, where does he know that a trefa is something that is capable of living out its life? He will learn it from another teaching from the same school, the school of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says, Bein hachayo ha-necheles u-bein hachayo asher lo tochal. The allusion in this pasuk to those animals that you are not allowed to eat. Elu shmoina asrei treifas shenemru lamoisha misina. These are the 18 types of treifas that were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at the giving of the Torah on the Mount of Sinai. And we have to emphasize the point here. The pasuk said uvein hachaya, meaning something that will live. However, asher lo tochal, that you cannot eat. So he sees in this pasuk a clear reference to something that's going to live, but you're not allowed to eat it, and that's the trefa. The Gemara now asks a question that's going to set the stage for the balance of this Gemara of today's shiur, meaning Amud Beis. And the question is, v'su leka, are there no other examples of trefus? We just saw a Tanaic source that says these are the 18 types of trefus. By saying that, you're basically saying there are 18 and no more. But we ought to assume that when he says 18, it's referring to those that were enumerated in the Mishnah. So on the heels of that, we are asking, are there no more? V'ho'iko, basgar, v'shev shmaitza. Basgar is an abbreviated expression referring to four problems. Each letter of this expression is a reference to a problem that the Gemara will spell out. The Shev Shmaitza is another seven teachings. So you have essentially 11 problems, Baskar being four, and Shev is seven, Shmaitza, seven teachings of Trefus. So are there not another 11 problems of Trefus? The Gemara goes on qualifying its question and says, Bishlamo Lutano Didan, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, there is no problem, because Ditona Tona, the list that it has, the 18 that it teaches are stated. Udeshayer, the other 11, Asya b'zeh haklal, can be included by the zeh haklal expression that appeared at the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said a rule. So the general statement can serve to include. In other words, our Mishnah, though it teaches 18, is not an exclusionary body of information. The 18 that are taught explicitly are stated, and these additional ones are alluded to by the expression Zeh HaKlal that's found at the end of the Mishnah. Ela Letona Debei Rabbi Shmuel de Omar Yudches Trefus Vesu Leka. But according to the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel source that said there are 18, indicating 18 and no others, well, are there not? And now the Gemara will go on to raise its questions on that source. So, but before we go on, let us just take note of the little marking that we have here. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a little star with an indication, Amud Aleph, to it. If you flip back to Amud Aleph, you'll see what we are referring to in this question. The second line from the bottom, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a star indicating Amud Beis. We're referring to that line in the Tanaic source that was taught by the Tana Debate Rabbi Shmuel, which has said that there are 18 forms of trefus, leaving us to think there are 18 and no others. And in that source, there is no elastic clause like we had in the mission of Zeh HaKlal, which could include more examples. So as we look at our marked daf, you'll notice a series of diamonds. These diamonds are all part of the question of Vesuleka. But as we go along the way, we'll notice answers to these questions. Therefore, we found it inappropriate to present a long question marking, because, as we just said, the Gemara punctuates each question with an answer. However, the spirit of this Omid Gemara is this issue of, are there no more? Aren't there more examples of trefus? So, in our structure key, in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, you notice we featured a diamond, and we've indicated in quotation marks for Ha'ika. That's the word or expression that you'll see in the diamond in the text, and they represent Kushos questions. Share yesh yoser mi yud ches dugmois shel trefus. There are more than 18 examples of trefus. So our issue today in our shir is the issue of dealing with the number. I mention in today's shir because we're not going to preoccupy ourselves so much with the physical descriptions of each one of these things. That we'll leave to the upcoming pages of Gemara. As we go along, we ought to note also a triangle that appears. There will be two triangles with colored in tips. They represent Shnei Tshuvos Lekushi Rishona. After we raise the first question, two answers will appear in response to this first question. So, once again, third line from the top, the Gemara asks, V'ha'ika, is there not also Behemo She Nechtechu Ragleo Min Arkuva Ulamalo, which is a trefa, an animal whose ragleo, whose legs have been cut off from above the arkuva. The arkuva being the joint. If you have the Sichas Chulin book, you can notice, you can open it up and notice where the arkuva is located. The animal's leg is essentially made of three parts. You have the lowest part referred to as the regel, the middle part referred to as the shok, and the upper part known as the yerech. So if there is if the animal's leg is cut off above the joint that attaches the middle bone to the uppermost bone, if the animal's leg is cut off at that point, that makes it into a trefa. Bear in mind, any descriptions that we give now will be the subject of much longer discussions later in the perek, so we don't want to commit ourselves to any given explanation, but for the sake of illustration, we'll offer small illustrations as we go on. But the question right now is there not this example of trefus? The Gemara answers, Sovar Lei, the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, holds Karebi Shimon ben Elazar. He will hold like this Tanaic opinion that says, Yomar Yechola hi lichvos v'lichyos. The animal's severed leg can be cauterized. Lichvos has to do with burning or cauterization. And thereby, the animal will continue to live. The Gemara asks, Afagav diyecholo lichvos velichyos leman koomar. This answer that you just gave, that even though the animal can be cauterized and continue to live, this is not really a sufficient answer for describing the trefa, this issue of broken severed leg as being acceptable. And why not? Leman Koomar, according to whom are we raising the issue of the Suleka? Are there no more examples? Well, this whole discussion is Latona Debe Rabbi Shmuel. We're asking our question according to that particular school of thought, the Rabbi Shmuel source. But Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel Trefa Choya Svirolei, he happens to hold that Trefa can continue to live. So the fact that you just said that the animals whose legs are severed can be cauterized and thereby continue living doesn't solve the problem. We are dealing right now with the Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Aleph. If you glance back to Omid Aleph and notice lower part of the page, an arrow also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text pointing to Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And he mentions Ubein HaChayo Asher Lo Tochal, which indicates those kinds of animals that, although they will live, you still cannot eat from them. And we explain that that's a reference to the idea of Trefa Chaya. So by saying that an animal whose legs have been severed can be cauterized and continue living doesn't help anything. The Tona Rabbi Shmuel says that a Trefa, in fact, is something that can continue to live. Ella, so the issue though remains that if Tona Rabbi Shmuel says there are 18, and the 18 are those that are listed in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah does not list Behemoth, Shenechtechu, Raglam, and Arkuva Lamalo, how are we to account for this limitation of 18? Ella, Sovar, Lo, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Omar, Ksheira, he. The Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel will hold like the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar that says that an animal whose hind legs have been cut off is not a trefa. It's okay. Therefore, one doesn't have to be concerned with the fact that it's not accounted for by the list. It doesn't belong in the list in the first place. Well, but we have another question. V'ho'iko chisaron b'shedra. Is there not a problem known as missing vertebrae in the spine? Tisnan. Now, we will have a source that deals with something called Tumas Oihel. However, right after this source that appears in the frame, you will see a comment of Rav Yehuda Shmuel saying, V'chein l'trefa. So what we are about to describe presents a problem with regard to our topic of trefus as well. But as far as the explanation of the Gemara is concerned, a word of introduction is necessary. Corpses, the dead human bodies, create something called Tumas Oihel. Not only does an entire dead human being create Tumas Oihel, but even parts of a dead person can create Tumas Oihel. Included in that is a Kezias Bosor, or let's say a complete skeleton. But even more than that, if you have an entire spine or a complete skull, that also can create Tumas Oihel. However, if one has a Tumas Oihel, of course, is a situation where one is overshadowed by something, and under that same covering was one of these things that we just referred to as creating Tumas Oihel, so that the overshadowing that covers me or some type of food item that needs to remain tor, and this particular part of the dead, that the overshadowing enables the tuma to transfer to the item in question. So, as far as an example of tuma so, which is relevant to our discussion, is if one has a complete spine, let us say, in a room together with oneself, that person will become tome mace. However, if the spine is missing, is lacking, and we'll shortly see a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how much must be lacking, nevertheless, if you have a spine that is lacking, there will be no Tumas Oihel. So the source that we now continue reading, that appears in the frame, says, Kamo chisorim b'shedra, how much is missing or shall be missing in a spine in order for there not to be Tumas Oihel. Beis Shammai omrim shtei chulios. If two vertebrae are missing from a complete spine, so it's not going to communicate Tumas Oihel. Ubeis Hillel omrim chulio achas. Beis Hillel says, even if one vertebrae is missing, the spine will not communicate Tumas Oihel. The Omer of Yudah Omer Shmuel v'chein l'trefa. This machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has its relevance also to what constitutes a trefa. Therefore, according to Beis Hillel, if you have a spine that's missing one vertebrae, that will be sufficient for labeling the animal that is like that as a trefa. The question then is, what about chisaron shebeshechem? This, by the way, is the second of the four problems alluded to in the abbreviated expression basgar that we saw at the bottom of Omen Aleph. So the answer is hemsis ubeis hakoisos. These are little numbers that appear along with these expressions. They are numbers that allude to the list in the Mishnah. These two organs, the hemsis and the beis hakoisos, which are parts of the stomach system of an animal, dekochashvis luhu betarti, they were counted as two separate problems. In other words, when the hemsis or the beis hakoisos have holes in them, that creates a trefus. They were listed as two separate problems or two separate examples in the Mishnah. Nevertheless, chashivinu b'chado, count them as one. After all, the hemsis and beis hakoisos are two parts of the stomach system, which are actually next to each other in the anatomy of the animal. Therefore, don't count them as separate examples, but chashivinu b'chado, consider them as one. Apik chado, thereby we are removing one from the list. The ayol chado, and then insert this, the issue of chisaron shebeshedra. So we are in fact accounting for chisaron shebeshedra in the number 18. The Gemara asks, Vahiko gluda, is there not the problem of an animal who is gluda? Gluda is, has been skinned. In other words, it's a live animal. Right now it appears as a live animal that is lacking all of its skin. So the Gemara answers, well, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, who said there are 18, Sovelok Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Meir de Machshir, which says that a gluda is kosher, is acceptable, and hence not to be categorized as a trefa. Question, Vahiko Harusa. Harusa literally is a palm, a branch. However, this is a reference to an animal whose lungs have become solidified. Lungs as internal organs are, generally speaking, in their normal state, are quite flexible. But if you are to open up an animal and find that it has hardened lungs, that would create a trefus. So what about this thing called harusa? It's not in the list of 18. The Gemara answers, Mora man kotoni lo. The issue of Mora, which we have listed here as number 10, so that if you look back in the Mishnah had mentioned Nikvo Hamora as number 10. A Mora, possibly the gall that is pierced, is a trefa. Who teaches that? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda. That really is an individual opinion. It's a shitas yochid. And the Tana de Beis Shmuel does not want to rule like him. Apik Mora, therefore the Tana de Beis Rabbi Shmuel will exclude, will, as far as his list of trefas, will not include the Mora. So I take out Mora from the list, the Ayil Harusa, and insert instead the Harusa problem. Question. And here we have a long question marking, a kuf that's encircled, that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the question. Here the Gemara will list off seven problems and not offer answers along the way as we were doing till now, but seven problems known as the Shev Shmaitzah, the seven teachings that were alluded to on Omer Aleph, seven problems of trefus, which were not accounted for in the original list of 18. So what are we to say? Vo'iko, the Gemara asks, Shev Shmaitza, number one, the Omar Rav Matona, Hai Buka di Atmo de Shof Miduchte Trefa. The Buka di Atmo is the point of connection of the uppermost leg bone, the hind leg bone, the Yerech, into the pelvis. So if that bone, where it's generally inserted, it's a ball joint type of a connection. If the bone is shof midufle, literally jumped out of place, meaning it's dislocated, that creates trefus. Well, What about that? And number two, V'omar rochish bar popo mishmei derav loksa b'kuya achas trefa, a kuya, possibly translated as the kidney. An animal has two kidneys. He says if one of the two kidneys is loksa, seems to be diseased, it's a problem of trefus. Utnan nital hatul kshera. There is a teaching that says that if a kidney is absent, it's kosher. The Omar of Avira Mishmei Darava Lo Shano Lo Nital. The problem of a tol, a tol organ, possibly translated as spleen, but we're not committing ourselves to translation, so we can leave it as a tol. This represents a third problem in this list of seven teachings. Though it teaches that nital hatol is kosher, Rav Avira Mishmei Derava tells us lo shanu el nital. The teaching of being kosher with regard to tol is true only if it's removed. Aval nikev trefa. Ironically, though, if there is a tol but it's pierced, that creates trefus. So what about that? The pierced tol, which does not appear in the original list, but is also classified as a trefa. The Omar Rabba Barachan Omar Shmuel, Simonim Shenedaldalu Barubon Trefa. Simonim is a reference to the neck organs. If the neck organs have become detached from the surrounding flesh in the neck of the animal, if the majority of them are dislodged or detached from the surrounding flesh, that creates trefa. Number five, the Omar Rabo Barav Shilo, Omar Rav Matona, Omar Shmuel, Neekro Tsela Meikora Trefa. If a rib is Neekro literally has to do with being uprooted. In other words, we're not talking about something that's broken, but it's been completely dislodged. That is from its point of attachment. That's the me'ikara, from where it is attached. That is a trefa. Number six, the gulgoles shenechbisa beruba. Gulgoles is a skull that has been, the majority of which is crushed. It's pointed out here, this crushing is where the bone is crushed, but the brain membrane is still intact. Our Mishnah mentioned a membrane that's pierced, so that's fine. That already is one example of trephus. But this example of skull crushed and membrane remaining intact was not mentioned. And finally, number seven, ubosar hachoifes roiv hakeres beruboi trepha. If the flesh that surrounds the majority of the stomach is cut, that creates trefa. This last example will all be elaborated upon much a bit later in the perek, but for our purposes we see a description of a trefa that's not listed in the original list of 18. So we have these last seven problems that exist as a problem of trefas, and yet they're not included in the list of 18. So how do we deal with that? The Gemara answers, Nekuvi, piercings. In our Mishnah, we saw many different examples of trefus. Amongst the different examples involved organs that were pierced. Piercings, holes. How many examples of holes are there? Tamnia, Havu. There are eight examples of animals whose trefus is a function of the organ being pierced. Well, since they all have this in common, the issue of holes, chashvinhu b'chad, consider them not as eight different examples, but consider them as one. So instead of eight, we now are down, we are reducing eight to one. Apikshev, so what we've just done is we've taken out seven, as far as numbers are concerned, Va'ayol Shev, and insert these seven that just formed our long question, the seven teachings. So we can stick with our list of 18, realizing that that the examples of trefus that that involve holes in them are to be categorized or collectively considered as one, giving us this ability to add 7 and not affect the original established number of 18. Well, if you're into unifying examples, as we just did with holes, well, ihochi psuki nami, the severed problems, issues of something being severed as constituting a trefa, there are nami, tre, havu. There are two examples of that. You have a psukos hagargeres, a trachea that is severed, and a chut hashedra, spinal cord that's severed. Those are two examples. Well, chashvinu b'chad, consider them as one, and then botzar luhuchada, now I'm going to be missing one in the list. The oid, derav avira mishmei de rova nami nekuvahi. We had in the list of 7, we notice a little arrow. This is to be aligned with the arrow just above. In the list of 7 was in fact an example of a pierced organ. So that when you say we took out 7 and put in 7, but if you call nekuvas, holes, as one category, this would fit into the category of holes. And therefore, the list of 7 that I was supposedly adding to the reduced list isn't, in fact, 7. It's going to be only 6. Because this, which was number 3 in the list of 7 that we had just above, that number 3 is not to be included in this list, but rather is part of the list of nekuvas. So, in the last couple lines of Gemara, we've now raised the problem that we're missing 2 examples. We have the psukas that we originally counted as 2 is really 1, and the example of Rav Avira, the pierced pierced toll, is also reduced. Ela, so at the top of Mem Gimel, the Gemara says, Hanoch Tarti de Afkis, the 2 that we originally had taken out of the list. We had mentioned that Behemo Shenechtechu really should not be in the list, and Gluda should not be in the list. Lo Tepuk, don't take them out of the list, and let us just say that the Tona de Bei Rishmoel will hold like the Rabbonon on those matters, and not like the Gemara originally had said that the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel would hold like Rabbi Meir, in this case of Gluda, saying it's kosher, and hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer with regard to the cut off legs, holding that it's kosher. But no, the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel will not hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer, not hold like Rabbi Meir, and in fact they will be considered examples of trefas. So by mentioning that the original, that those 2 that we thought to eliminate or to reduce really are not to be reduced, and I'll now have the 18 number intact. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.